Tonight on Drones, we take you live to the front lines. Where high-tech heroes use cutting-edge technology and blow the hell out of the bad guys.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Happy New Year, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the latest game for your Wii remote control. Hey, cut that out. I am your host, Stimulator, and speaking of remote controls, seems the United Snakes is gearing up for another proxy war, this time in South America. As we reported last year, the man your mama calls Obama signed a deal with Colombia that would give the US access to 7 military bases to supposedly fight the war on drugs.
Well, the irony of this, of course, is that this money, which is in the billions, is coming from your country. You see, you are the major purchaser of our national product, which is, of course, cocaine.
On one hand, you're saying the United States government is spending millions of dollars to eliminate the flow of drugs onto our streets. At the same time, we are doing business with the very same government that is flooding our streets with cocaine.
But late last year, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez claimed that unmanned drones owned by the U.S. were launched from Colombia and illegally entered into Venezuelan airspace.
Pequeño avión de dos metros, tres metros de largo.
A small aircraft of 2 or 3 meters wide that's controlled remotely and that films everything, and some of them can even drop bombs.
Incluso algunos tiran bombas.
Yep. Unmanned drones can be controlled by young video game addicted Americans in the US, bomb civilians halfway around the world, and be home in time for Jeopardy.
Portugal, Colombia, Peru. Max,
what is Peru?
No! Kevin,
what is Colombia?
Right!
Recently, folks in Syracuse, New York protested against a Reaper drone deployment base in their hometown. Yep, Colombia may be the next launching pad for US drones, but it seems like hacking into these overpriced remote control warbirds may be easier than previously thought.
Military insurgents in Iraq have hacked US Predator drones, those unmanned remote controlled planes used to monitor insurgent targets. So, has US military intelligence been compromised?
The Wall Street Journal reported that Iraqi insurgents were able to intercept video feeds broadcast by the drones using a $26 software called SkyGrabber. Sales of SkyGrabber have been, well, skyrocketing, with the most sales reported in Afghanistan, Mexico, Pakistan, Venezuela, and Iran. Well, I made the last up. SkyGrabber's page will be linked from my fan website, stimulator.tv. And speaking of Iran, in case you didn't notice, there's a revolution going on. The motherfucking resistance has been out in full force over the last month, taking to the streets, burning police vehicles and government buildings, and even stopping executions. This is not the bullshit reformist twat waffles who try to sell their people an exciting, energetic candidate who promised them change and hope and a light version of the current regime. No, my dear slaves, the resistance is out to overthrow the government.
I want to get you to overthrow your government.
Last but not least, a University of Utah scientist published a provocative new study which argues that rising carbon dioxide emissions, the major cause of
man-made climate change,
cannot be stabilized unless the world's economy collapses or society builds the equivalent of a new nuclear power plant each day. Well, since we know that the nuclear option is not feasible, I guess we're going to have to bring down the economy.
And technology expands, the third world fertile soil becomes a desert wasteland. So it takes fans to demand the government provide answers. When Lady Liberty has me bewitched like Samantha, and poverty is one of the most malignant forms of cancer. To all my black magic romancers and acid rain dancers, develop close ties like Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza. We fear no man and throw jams that attack counterintelligence programs, exciting like the epic adventures of Conan. I colonize minds like Zaire by the Belgians. Now what the hell is the problem with this system and what it sells
Jesus. I break ancient relics like Wyclef did the Zealots. I saw an iron curtain called hip-hop and got it open like Gordon Jeltsin. Whirlwind, tornadoes, in the rainforest if you say so. KRS and the Last of a Roar like the Green Hornet and Kato. Zach De La Roca brings the enraged flow. But all three drop science and become the most powerful alliance since NATO.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
You know the cops, they got a network for the toxic rock.
You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that.
So get that flashlight out of my face.
For the last three Januaries, I started off the year by making up my New Year's resolutions. This year, I'm changing it up a bit and introducing a new yearly tradition, into the future with the Stimulator's magic crystal balls. With the benefit of my left ball and my right ball, I can see the good times ahead. So without further delay, here are my predictions. I asked my right ball what it saw coming from the right in 2010. And it told me that there's going to be three high-profile deaths. This winter, while vacationing in Hawaii, right-wing radio cuffsnapper Rush Limbaugh will take one too many painkillers while enjoying Sarah Palin's new show on Fox News. Rush won't be able to take the excitement of seeing Palin's debut on TV, and his huge belly will simply explode. This will be followed by the untimely death of radio fucknut Alex Jones. In the sweltering Texas summer heat, while spewing an emotional load of diarrhea against the tyrannical green lizards that planned the enslavement of humanity, the evil scientists who fooled the world with fake global warming peer-reviewed studies, and the ruthless Mexicans who plan to invade the US, the air conditioning unit in his studio fails, Mr. Jones's body will overheat and his head will simply explode. For Glenn Beck, death will be a lot more fun. After snorting a decent amount of the CIA's best Peruvian snowflakes, Beck will proceed to pour gasoline on one of his interns and ridicule him on national TV. Well, the lowly intern will have just about enough of Glenn's antics, and when Beck leaves the Fox News building, he will be devoured by wolves. My left ball told me that in 2010, the resistance is going to kick it up a notch. Environmental activists disillusioned by the ineffectiveness of NGOs will join an underground movement of resistance to do what it takes to stop the destruction of the planet. A number of affinity groups will band together to put an end to the
League of the Tar Sands.
The Olympic resistance will cause a major disruption of the
Five Cock Rings of Death
in Vancouver and wake up the world to the evils of this fascist Trojan horse. My ball also tells me that Obama mania will end later this year as the economy completely collapses. College occupations in the bankrupt state of California will set off an avalanche of inspiration with occupations happening all over North America. This in turn will inspire workers to take over their factories, government minions to walk out of their jobs, and US soldiers will point their guns at their superiors and force them to bring the troops back home. The Federal Reserve will be shut down and money will cease to exist. Citizen groups will hunt down and try war criminals, and others will dismantle coal-fired power plants and arms factories. Last but not least, golf sensation Tiger Woods will release his debut album of romantic ballads called I Am a Cheetah.
Public really needs to understand that no combination of alternative miracle fuels or biodiesel or ethanol or nuclear or sun or solar or used French fried potato oil, no combination of these things is going to allow us to keep a happy motoring society going.
We are using up all the very easily accessed energy sources, and we've really built this huge way of life based on cheap oil, essentially.
the world as we know it, which relies entirely on oil to function, is nearing its end.
We are headed for the crash. That oil is not going to come again.
Tar sands are probably one of the biggest industrial projects in the history of mankind.
The tar sands are the largest, most destructive environmental project on the planet right now.
It's oil extraction. It's some of the dirtiest oil on the planet, which means that it takes the most energy to extract. And the reason that we're extracting this particular brand of dirty, dirty oil is because there's no other oil left to extract.
Tar sands really aren't oil. Effectively, the process by which you mine and refine tar sands is effectively adding about 100 million years of development through a synthetic process. The tar sand deposit in an area that covers the size of the state of New York or larger than England is already considered the largest industrial project in human history, and it's barely begun.
There's no more room for progress. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel in the tar sands. We invest in monies in our banks that facilitates this damage on our planet and poisons the earth with dirty bitumen.
There's mining processes and in-situ processes, and both of them are pretty much trying to extract bitumen out of the sand.
To produce one barrel of oil, you have to first, after you've cleared off the ground and broken all the trees down and so forth, then dig a pit which can be up to 200 feet deep. For each barrel of oil, there's four barrels of water used in a process called a slurry, where you spin it at a high speed, high velocity, with high temperatures of water to separate the bitumen, which is the pre-synthetic oil, from the sands itself and all of the clays and silts. But that's after you've already dug out what has to be hundreds of tons of earth.
The energy that's required to actually do that is approximately people say for almost every barrel of oil, you need about a half a barrel of energy just to produce this. So for every barrel of energy input, it's two barrels of oil that are produced. Whereas with conventional crude, it was very, very minor in terms of the energy that's inputted to actually get the crude oil out.
So the ratio that's most important to talk about is a ratio you could use in a country like Iraq, where for each barrel of oil you use to try to get more oil, you'll get about 100 barrels back.
The Athabasca River, which runs through northern Alberta, where you have like many different native communities living along the river, is being sucked of its water to fuel the tar sands operations.
Because of the contamination of the river from oil sands discharges of things like oil and grease and treated sewage into the Athabasca River, and sometimes there's accidents of spills of these toxic chemicals directly into the Athabasca rivers.
The community of Fort Chipewyan, both the Mikisew Cree and the Dene Chipewyan First Nation, who have been fighting and really at the front of like raising the alarm about what's happening, and their community has been seeing all this rise in rare cancers, autoimmune diseases, arsenic in the land, the moose meat, the fish are high levels of heavy metals, mercuries. Basically, the whole environment up there is contaminated.
The tar sands are not only fueling the destruction of the second fastest rate of deforestation in the world outside of the Amazon River Basin, they're already the second fastest contributor to climate change in North America. And with the goals of production that they're talking about, the CO2 emissions will make it so the only way you could outstrip a climate change contributor for all of North America would be to combine all of the coal-fired power plants from Alberta to Arizona and in between across all of North America.
And I think that the tar sands is the absurdity of still desiring oil when we know so well that, for example, fresh water is just an elemental part of human existence, and that we're running full force towards extracting these last little bits of oil to sustain pretty much this plastic culture, this plastic civilization, to the destruction of the environment in which we can live.
People say it's like the world's addicted to crack, and this is like the dirtiest and most disgusting form of crack that'll keep it addicted for a lot longer, right? Like, this is actually what it is. It is the most insane thing that people are doing.
We probably agree that civilization's going to crash whether or not we help bring this about. If you don't agree with this, we probably have nothing to say to each other. We probably also agree that this crash will be messy. We agree further that since industrial civilization is systematically dismantling the ecological infrastructure of the planet, the sooner civilization comes down, whether or not we help it crash, the more life will remain afterwards to support both humans and non-humans.
The founding fathers became very concerned about future rebellions. When they got together in Philadelphia in 1787 to frame the Constitution of the United States, they wanted a government strong enough to put down rebellion. And so the Constitution was adopted as a, you might say, a law and order document to maintain stability.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where we'll stop the world and melt with you. I am your host, The Stimulator, and as it happens every winter, the motherfucking global warming deniers get out their megaphones and yell,
"Look, see how fucking cold it is? Global warming is a sham."
And every year I have to remind them that it's fucking cold because it's fucking winter. But I digress. The World Meteorological Organization said that 2009 is likely to be the fifth warmest year since record dating began. If you think that that's bad news, 2009 was the second warmest year in Australia, where droughts and wildfires are a yearly reality for our friends down under.
Our economic interest, our environment interest are tied to us taking real action on climate change. This government's committed to doing it, but the opposition leader doesn't seem to believe it exists.
That was Australian Environment Minister Peter Garrett. You might remember Garrett from his band Midnight Oil, who may have inadvertently prophesied the future of his country with the song Beds Are Burning.
Crews on Cypress Mountain are taking full advantage of some recent snowfall. They're scrambling to prepare for Olympic competition, but the weather forecast continues to work against them.
Yep.
Man-made climate change
may be putting a damper on the
five cock rings of death.
Cypress Mountain, the site for the Olympic snowboarding competition and freestyle skiing competition, is as bare as Janet Jackson's right boobie at the Super Bowl. Bales of hay are being delivered by chopper to build up jumps and obstacles at a cost of over $1,000 an hour. But with a budget of $6 billion, the same amount as Haiti's gross domestic product, the greedy motherfucker from the IOC should be able to make snow in the Sahara. Or they could just make up and take the competition to Dubai. This over-the-top Middle Eastern city is home to a ginormous indoor skiing slope in the middle of the desert. But while the rich rock out with their cocks out, there is a virtual slave class that built this grotesque expression of unbridled capitalism. Yep, my fellow slaves, our priorities as a race are totally fucked. On the one hand, you have people skiing in the desert, and on the other...
So?
Wait, what's that? Wait, is that Apple CEO Steve Jobs? Hey Jobs, can you show me the new iPad?
Let me show it to you now. This is what it looks like.
O-O-B-A-M-A.
Snatch back your brain, zombie. Snatch it back and hold it.
Damn, T. Thanks again for saving my ass. As I was saying, our priorities are off. Apple expects to sell 10 million iPads this year at a cost of $500 a pop. Again, that translates to roughly Haiti's gross domestic product. Meanwhile, the man your mama calls Obama has been taking a more populist approach and unleashing a more, well, fighting spirit.
Fighting, 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 fight, fights, fights, fight, 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 fighting, fight, fighting, fighting, fight, 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 fight.
Well, fronting about fighting and actually fighting are two different things. It's like calling a bull by its name and then eating a chicken. You can't marinate the truth. For instance, on his second day in the oral orifice, the man your mama calls Obama said this.
Guantanamo will be closed no later than 1 year from now.
But we all know that Club Gitmo is still open for business, and it does not look like it'll be shut down anytime soon. Just like bringing back the troops home and giving us real solutions to the problem of
man-made climate change,
Obama has reneged on his campaign promises time and time again. The only change I see is the 37 cents in my pocket. But if you still hope you can still change the system by voting, maybe the recent Supreme Court decision will change your mind. In a 5-4 vote, this geriatric group of robed weirdos handed corporate America the keys to the kingdom by giving them the right to spend unlimited amounts of money on political campaigns. I hope you are ready for the excellent elections in 2012. Maybe the Mayans were right after all. In Savnikov News, radical historian Howard Zinn kicked the bucket after a rich lifetime of giving them hell. Zinn was best known as the author of the book A People's History of the United States. That book was key in radicalizing my youthful mind, and it's a must for anyone seeking to look at the past through the eyes of the brave folks at the bottom who sacrificed their lives in the name of freedom and equality. Here's Howard Zinn at his best.
Our only hope for real change lies in the possibility that all of us who are slightly privileged and slightly uneasy begin to see that we are like the guards in the prison uprising in Attica, expendable. That the establishment, whatever rewards it gives us, will also, if necessary to maintain its control, kill us. If the guards stop obeying, if you stop obeying, the system falls. If we understand that and act on it, not only will life be more satisfying today, but our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, may see a different and marvelous world.
Now the motherfucking resistance is gearing up to disrupt
the five cockroaches of death
in Vancouver. As a prelude to this festival of mischievousness, the Olympic Resistance Network invited radical sports writer Dave Zirin. As a longtime fan of Howard Zinn, Zirin aptly named his book about politics and sports, A People's History of Sports in the United States. Hey Dave, how the fuck are you?
Check 1, 2, Dave Zirin, boom!
Dude, can I have some of what you're drinking? Let me try this again. Dave Zirin, how the fuck are you?
Kicking ass, taking names, doing very well, thank you.
So, what the fuck is your beef with the Olympics?
My beef with the Olympics is that everywhere they go, you see the same three things. You see police repression, you see budget-busting graft, and you see hardcore gentrification and displacement. And that's true no matter where the Olympics go. Like, most people know about how this went down in Beijing. But it's not a China issue, it's not a Beijing issue, it's an Olympics issue. It's wherever they go, they make these demands of a given community, and I don't think any community should have to deal with that to host a sporting event.
I heard that you think that the anti-Olympic protests in Vancouver are going to be historic. Just what the fuck do you mean?
It's absolutely historic because every time there has been an Olympics, there has been resistance to that Olympics among the people of a given community. Sometimes huge, sometimes small, sometimes with utterly tragic results like in 1968 in Mexico City. But there has never been a convergence, particularly since 1999 on the sort of Seattle model of saying, let's put the word out and have everybody come here to protest injustice in the broadest sense and bring together different social movements as the way the Olympics kind of brings together those movements from the opposite side. I mean, the Olympics can promote unity of resistance because the Olympics takes on so many different issues in and of itself. And so that's what makes it historic. Post-Seattle, I mean, there have been, you know, half a dozen Olympic Games, I suppose, or more, like eight, and it's never happened before.
So, should people come and protest the five Cochranes of Death in Vancouver this February?
Absolutely. People should come to the Convergence. If they have any way, shape, or form to come here, they should come to the Convergence. If people are worried about issues like crossing the border, I'm talking to people in the United States right now, or if people are worried about police repression, I want people to keep in mind that Vancouver is also going to be a tourist hub during the Games. And so there's also going to be a counter pressure on the police in terms of cracking down. There's going to be a counter pressure at the border to not keep people out because they need people to come to the Games for them to be a success. So people should come without fear, particularly if their, you know, immigration status is solid, whether in the United States or Canada. Obviously, people who have immigration issues, you always have to be careful at these convergences. But I think anybody who has the means and the will should take the time to come here. Absolutely.
Thanks, Dave. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. The following slaves dug deep into their pockets and fed my broadcast some beans. Sarah, Audrey, Aaron, Stephen, Amy, Chase, Philip, Jim, Rodney, Tyler, Kaylee, Michelle, Peter, John, Sabrina, the one and only Nigel, Benjamin, Dan, Noah, Harrison, Joshua, Kareem, Christopher, Dylan, Amber, and the iPod guy, Tom Shackley. To comment on this show, or for links to the motherfucking Olympic resistance, just visit my website, stimulator.tv. And if you're coming to Vancouver, don't forget your rain gear.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.